Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we got a doubleheader. We got two leading executives in the area here. We have Van Ristu, who's a CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, who is DLT's Chief Cloud Technologist. Greetings, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning, John. We're happy to be here.
You know, 222 interviews, the first chief cloud technologist has ever sat in that chair. Brand new title, huh?
Yep, new title.
And you're kind of a new guy with the company as well, huh?
I am. I came on board in March after spending about 11 years at a company formerly known as Sun Microsystems.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, a number of years in the reseller world and the small SI world, cut my teeth on IT back in the old Defense Data Network.
Yeah. Did you work with Bill Voss over there?
I know Bill.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He was a guest on the air, and he's really a champ. He's one of my best interviews ever, I think. He's a bright guy. Now, Van is not a new guy at DLT Solutions. You're kind of an old veteran, aren't you?
I am a veteran. I've been there for 5 years.
Yeah.
DLT bought the small consulting company that I co-owned with our senior vice president at DLT, Ed Jones. We worked for 10 years providing business development consulting to software companies trying to get into the public sector, both in the U.S. and internationally. And DLT was our last client, and they made us a deal we couldn't refuse.
Great. So we have as kind of the yin and yang, we have kind of two different perspectives here on the cloud and federal enterprise architecture and best practices and everything else. I guess the first thing to start off with is, okay, we've got this cloud thing here. We're kind of in a transition. We know one of the big proponents for the cloud is going to leave and go up to Harvard. And, I mean, the question is what's going to happen? Is this whole, I'll ask you the question, David, is this whole, you know, push towards the cloud, is this going to deflate? Is it going to just go nowhere? Is it just going to continue? What's going to happen?
Honestly, I think it's going to just accelerate with Vivek Kundra leaving. It certainly has taken the figurehead out of the equation. You know, he was definitely the evangelist. However, realistically, the government has actually been pursuing cloud long before Vivek actually put forth his policy changes and his 25-point implementation plan. NASA and DISA were both leaders in that space. I think we're all going to see that accelerate as we move forward.
Cloud-first strategy. Van, you've been around a while. Is this something brand new? You think this is just a transition from older types of looking at technology, or you think it really has a long-term future working in the cloud here?
Well, I think Vivek's leadership role with respect to OMB and being the first federal CIO, his focus was on getting people to do what they really weren't ready to do or maybe not so much interested in doing, and his cloud-first policy was one aspect of that. Make sure you think about the cloud first instead of second or third when you're thinking about improving the efficiency of your operation.
Van, do you think the reports of all these federal agencies making the transition to the cloud, do you think that's just a puffery, just like a public relations scam, or do you think people are actually making this change?
Oh, they are making the change. As David pointed out, certain agencies, NASA, DOD, others, have been moving in this direction for quite a while. It's not a simple transition. It requires a lot of planning, a lot of repurposing of real estate, equipment, facilities, and people skills, but the important thing is that this is a global, worldwide initiative that is happening in commercial industry as well as governments. It's just happening a little slower in the federal government because of the security concerns and some of the special requirements that our government customers have with respect to securing data.
Now, David, DLT Solutions, a local company, deal with a lot of different vendors that seem to work in the cloud. And you've come up with this thing called a Cloud Advisory Group. Tell me more about that, please.
I'd love to. The Cloud Advisory Group is a new knowledge practice that DLT has stood up. Specifically, we're designed to provide actionable intelligence to our customers. So what is cloud technology? What sorts of cloud technologies are out there? How to best leverage that based on, you know, our customers' requirements. So it's really a consultative group designed from a pre-sales perspective to help our customers understand what options are open to them, what technologies are open to them, and how to best leverage that in their environment.
And so the companies that DLT Solutions works with is kind of best of breed. It's kind of like having a toolbox in your basement with the 9/16 wrench and the hammer and the drill.
Yep.
You've got Google, NetApp, Oracle, Quest, Red Hat, SolarWinds, Symantec. I mean, this is like an all-star list of the cloud vendors, isn't it?
We're very proud of our vendor list, and we are very picky about our vendors. So we're not we have a very small vendor list we work with, and it's all about excellence, both with our vendors and our internal staff, in terms of really understanding the product, the portfolio, and making sure that there's the right fit.
You know, I have a toolbox in the basement, and I'm very careful about what tools I throw in there. I don't want to have it too big, don't want to have it too small, but I want to have the right tools. When I'm fixing the sink, I can just grab it. And that's one of the strengths of DLT, isn't it, Van?
Absolutely, John. One of the reasons we brought David on board and established the Cloud Advisory Group was that we found that many of our customers were not ready to ask for a specific solution just yet. They really needed to understand better what the ramifications of their decision process were, whether they needed an internal cloud, an external cloud, software as a service offering, or just whatever the case might be. The array of choices in the market today is just phenomenal. It's growing month by month. It's as if cars were invented 2 years ago, and you're, you know, being asked, you know, what kind of car you want to drive. Well, maybe you need a truck, maybe you need a sports car, but there's a process that you need to go through to determine what's best for you. And since very few customers have ever been through that process before, they need some hand-holding and some encouragement in moving in the right direction for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to a Toyota dealership only and ask them what kind of car you think I should drive. I mean, I might want to go maybe to a CarMax and say, well, geez, you know, I drive 40 miles a day and I occasionally haul lumber on the weekends or something like that, and they may give a suggestion. And I think this is what this advisory group is maybe all about. I mean, I've had Google on the air and NetApp and Quest and Red Hat and Symantec and Ori, and I've had them all on the air, and they're all great companies, and Oracle say, here's what we're good at, and that's fine. But I'm not going to call NetApp only, and I might want to go to maybe an intermediary.
Right, and that's exactly what we're designed to do, is actually to walk their customers through what their requirements are, what their constraints might be, what their concerns are, and come up with the right approach. And it may include things in our portfolio, it may not. But ultimately, we want to make sure that our customers have the right information so they can make informed decisions and put the right strategy and the right plans in place so they can actually deploy either, you know, public or private cloud services that really fit their need.
Yeah, we want them to succeed. We don't want to risk failure by having them select the wrong product.
Well, DLT Solutions has been around long enough that it can walk away and say, look, it's not the right fit. You know, go get a Mini Cooper. You know, we don't sell them. Go get them next door. And that may be the case for some consumer applications, and there are agencies that jobs are to interact with consumers, and that may be the right solution. I think that is a key factor in deciding is knowing when that if it's a bad fit, DLT is going to look bad, and you don't want that.
Absolutely not. And one of the reasons we've grown 20-25% a year for the last 5 years is our concern and our interest in making sure that the customer is successful in achieving his objectives, his or her objectives, in the IT, enterprise IT market. That's why we focus on enterprise IT. We don't sell hardware other than NetApp. We don't sell boxes. We just sell software, and we try to know that market and what the offerings are very well.
So, David, the Cloud Advisory Group meets once a month. It has online webinars. Tell me the details.
Sure. So the Cloud Advisory Group is a small tiger team within DLT, and it's It's part of an, it's also an extension of the existing engineering organization. And in order to convey the information around cloud, we actually conduct webcasts. We're getting involved in conferences, blogs, white papers, articles. Those are the sorts of things we do in terms of providing that intelligence to our customers, and hopefully in digestible formats that, that make sense to them. And it is within the right framework that they understand, you know, how this may or may not solve their technology problems.
Yeah, we just finished, John, a five-week series of webcasts on different cloud topics.
You two guys are the leaders. I signed up for it. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about maybe the Cloud Advisor Group and dive into some funny acronyms and definitions like DCCI. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Van Ristu, who's the CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, DLT's Chief Cloud Technologist.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612, and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills. And the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Julia Ruffini, the field office chief for the Defense Security Service, one of the winners of our COSI Award.
My key is I like to communicate. I like to give the why answers of why we're doing everything so everybody can understand. And basically, we do it for the warfighter. And once everybody understands that, it's motivation within itself. I like to advertise what our agency can do for our people, pay for higher education, master's degrees, training programs.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Here's Brian McGrath, CIO, Census Bureau, on the virtualization What Federal Managers Need to Know panel, sponsored by Microsoft and Citrix.
I see us in 3 to 5 years having 70 to 80% of our compute resources virtualized. I see us having a desktop environment that is completely virtualized and allows us to provide those services any place, anywhere.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The benefits of virtualization are clear. Use less energy, generate less heat, take up less space. But before making the leap, make sure you're leveraging your existing Microsoft investment. You may already own key virtualization products like Remote Desktop Services, System Center, and Windows Server 2008 R2 with Hyper-V. These products put you well on your way to a well-managed, virtualized application, desktop, and server environment, moving toward the cloud. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/govcloud.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Deborah Vess is the Associate Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department and leads the HR Connect Program Office. She's also a COSI Award winner.
On the system that we created, which is Entry on Duty, it's about the onboarding process. And this product is really what we call one-to-many. So it's very exciting from a technology perspective to define a product that can actually be leveraged across many different agency and bureaus' needs because they all do something a little different.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates, www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Van Ristu, who's the CTO at DLT Solutions, and David Blankenhorn, who is his colleague, and he's the Chief Cloud Technologist. Hey, I got to jump in with this title here. It seems crazy. So the federal government's got to hire technical people, and they have this very rigid structure for job descriptions. How would they come up with something like that? I mean, what would they do, David?
That's going to be a real challenge. That's a great question. I mean, right now they're trying to figure out, well, what roles should actually be staffed within the federal government and which ones they should contract out. And I haven't seen any job descriptions yet coming out of the government in terms of chief cloud technologist or cloud architect or engineer or anything of that nature.
And in the private world, they're just as confused. I mean, do you hire a software developer? I mean, it's not an easy task. And right. In the world of security, it's even more difficult.
I think realistically, IT people are creative by nature. And what's going to happen is you're going to see existing admins, developers, those sorts of folks. They're going to basically start developing out skills that are cloud specific. So you're not going to see in a few years people with necessarily cloud in their title. You're just going to see that the traditional titles, but people have assumed more knowledge, more responsibility, more knowledge.
It's maybe like going from a programmer to a developer. It's like, I'm not just a programmer.
Right, exactly.
I'm a developer. I know how systems interact. I'm not just a cloud operator. I understand how systems interact in the cloud.
Exactly.
Cloud is full of all kinds of confusing industry acronyms. One confusing one is DCCI. Van, maybe you could elaborate on this one, DCCI. What's that all about?
Well, John, that stands for the Data Center Consolidation Initiative, which is closely linked to the movement to virtualization, standardization, cloud computing. If you tie it all together and think about it as a set of options that you can you may need to achieve an efficient IT operation, it starts to make sense. About a year ago, as some of our listeners may know, the government did an inventory of its data centers, found out that there were over 2,000 data centers and processor power and storage capacity was grossly underutilized and was eating up a lot of funding in energy cost, real estate cost, facility management cost, duplicative systems across the government. And so OMB came out with this consolidation initiative, the objective of which is to decrease the total number of data centers by some 30-35% over the next couple of years. I think the target is like 130-140 data centers to be consolidated in the near term. Some of the agencies, like NASA specifically, and a few of the others, have started this process and well on the way to consolidating to two or three data centers. But around the country, because our government is so geographically dispersed, you have small 200, 500,000 square foot data centers that may be serving a regional department of a particular agency, and when you add up all that cost, it makes sense to think about consolidating things. Now, the interesting thing about consolidation is that Mr. Kundra has proposed that the money we will save in consolidation will be what we use to move to the cloud. That is, pay for the consulting to actually pay the fees and obtain cloud services. The economics of the thing aside, what it does allow us to do is to think about how we're going to make radical change given the opportunity or given the requirement that we do need to consolidate these data centers. So if you're virtualizing your existing data centers and as you move through the process of consolidation, as you probably should, and you're starting to standardize on major software systems and standardize on perhaps hardware also in order to reduce your training cost and your overall cost of operation and maintenance, then the choice of an internal cloud option for a part of your operations becomes a much easier one. as does the choice of outsourcing to a cloud, public cloud service provider for peak load requirements that may occur only seasonally, or some requirement for perhaps email that all of the agency users need to have access to around the country, around the world, that you may not want to do in a consolidated data center. Is that a little bit clearer?
Yeah, it makes sense. David, I want to ask about this consolidation and maybe put it in working boots here. An interview yesterday that Paul Moritz gave, he's the CEO of VMware, he said, we're in a post-document era. We're in a post-PC era. What we're taking is this virtualization in the cloud, and we're trying to automate it and trying to scale it and maybe take some of these smaller data centers and automate those as well. Paul Moritz says that Google has one operator for 1,000 servers. I mean, it's incredible.
It's amazing.
And VMware itself only has one for like 20 to 50 servers. And I think this is the only way the federal government is going to get more with less is to learn from guys like Paul and try to accomplish this, but not an easy task, is it?
It's not. There is a pretty steep learning curve in terms of how do we actually get highly automated systems? How do we actually standardize? How do we drive those programs forward? And by the way, standardization is absolutely critical whether you're looking to do a standard consolidation or virtualization or cloud. Really understanding, narrowing down your platform choices, narrowing down what platforms you're going to support and deploy, that's really a first step that agencies should be looking at, departments should be looking at, because that enables them to actually work on these consolidation projects, to work on cloud initiatives. It's a kind of an enabler that's really necessary. And standardization is what allows you to start being able to automate your environment, more easily secure your environment. And to your point, you get better admin to server ratios. So we can start seeing, better than the 1 to 10 or 1 to 15. We'll start seeing 1 to 50, 1 to 100. So I think that's really a key driving it forward.
No, we started the show talking about a toolbox illustration. Mm-hmm. Well, a 9/16 wrench will work on a 9/16 bolt pretty easily. We know that because it's a standard type product. And I think what's happening now, Van, is this disruptive influence is starting to come in to ruin some of these standards, which is mobile devices and handheld devices. I mean, right now, smartphones and iPads, tablets, they're outselling laptops. So we have agencies here with bozos like me walking in with an iPad and just expecting it to go on the network. I mean, this is a challenge for working in the cloud, isn't it?
And a lot of folks are pulling their hair out.
If I had any left, to pull it out, we know that joke.
The problem is this, John. There are a bunch of issues here that have to be thought through, and each agency is going to have to make its own decision based on how they intend to use or allow these devices to be used. There are numerous useful applications for mobile devices in the field, taking pictures of boll weevils or pests in the Department of Agriculture and sending them back for identification, census taking, valid uses of mobile devices in the field. Problem is, the mobile device industry is moving so fast. There's so many different operating systems to contend with. There's the Apple iOS. There's the Windows operating system. There's Android from Google.
There's RIM, five big ones.
There's RIM. There's Palm. There's Symbian. There's at least 10 or so operating systems.
Not to mention flavors within some of those.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And changing.
Yeah, and so I bring those into my environment. How do I manage, assume I have control, how do I manage patching all those different operating systems? How do I manage the different security configurations of all those different devices? How do I ensure that my employees don't jailbreak those devices while they've got them at home with their teenagers? And do I let my employees or use their own devices for work, or do I supply them with a device and allow them to collect?
Policy question.
Yeah, absolutely, policy question. And to the point, the agencies are still struggling with this. I was on a panel last week at the Symantec conference and on mobile device management, and it is a thorny issue.
Not easy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to pose a question to David from the perspective of a listener. And I'm going to ask, well, what's DL2 doing to help me make all these decisions? You guys putting your feet up on the chair and waiting? Or what exactly you're doing? When we come back, we'll put David on the hot spot and find out what DLT Solutions is all about. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, a doubleheader, Van Ristu, CTO at DLT Solutions, and David Blankenhorn, his colleague, the Chief Cloud Technologist.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest will be Stuart Ritter, financial planner and T. Rowe Price's Financial Planning Services Group. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Thinking and the Stroke Belt. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. People in the Stroke Belt, 8 southeastern states in which people have a higher risk of stroke, may also have a higher risk of cognitive impairment to their ability to think. Researchers at the University of Alabama at Birmingham saw it in a database of more than 30,000 people. Researcher Virginia Wadley says physical conditions that can lead to stroke can also raise the risk of cognitive impairment. She believes there are things people can do to protect themselves.
Keeping hypertension and diabetes under control, for example, or quitting smoking, eating more fruits and vegetables and less animal fat, and increasing physical activity.
The study in Annals of Neurology was supported by the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
My name is Abe Lincoln, and I've been thinking about this cool place that you can go. It's a website that I speak of called USA.gov. It's government information online, and that's mighty fine. USA.gov. Got questions on your log cabin? Housing answers, yeah, they have them. USA.gov is your official source. Get Social Security info, whatever that is. ID theft prevention tips, because that's your biz. Even change my address, and I don't mean the Gettysburg. Find government auctions, jobs, apply for student aid. Hey, I wouldn't lie, I'm honest Abe. It's government made easy for the people. Take it from the dude in the stovepipe hat. USA.gov is where it's at. So don't wait 67 years to check it out. And that, my fellow Americans, is what I'm talking about.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Van Ristu, CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, DLT's Chief Cloud Technologist. Spent about half the interview talking about a wide range of subjects, everything from toolboxes to acronyms to cloud security. And I want to put myself in the role of a listener here, okay? So it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and listening to this online, and maybe it's 3 or 4 months from now, and they're saying, well, DLT Solutions, they work with a lot of vendors. They have an advisory group. But, David, give me an example of what DLT Solutions is going to do to help my listeners figure out this whole cloud problem.
Great. Thanks, John. So right now, there's a lot of commercial speak around cloud and cloud technologies. And the DLT Cloud Advisory Group, we're very government focused. And this is a real differentiator for us, is that, you know, DLT is a government focused company. And as such, you know, we take these technologies that may be very popular in the commercial realm, and retranslate that into how does government actually use it? Kind of like the Rosetta Stone of technology, if you will.
And that's a real good illustration, because I get bombarded with requests to go to webinars from companies like Symantec or Google or mm-hmm. any vendor out there, but they're going to give me the Symantec pitch. I know that.
Right.
But you can at least try to be objective and angle. Well, from a commercial perspective, this is what you look at. But DLT can give you the government perspective, and here's an angle on this product from NetApp.
Exactly. And every vendor out there now has some sort of cloud messaging, and some of it's actually very real in terms of how their technology is enabling cloud. Others are what I would term cloud washing. You know, they're basically trying to relabel their existing thing and say, yeah, it's a cloud offering. It's kind of hard to work your way through that labyrinth in terms of what's real, what's the real technology, and it's more specifically, how do I actually apply that in government? You know, how do I get this ANA process through? How do I actually get the ATO with a public cloud service? How do I actually secure this so that my personally identifiable information is going to be protected? And should I go private or should I go public? Those are the specific kinds of questions that we try to answer.
And differentiating between a private and public cloud and security questions got to pop up. Now, Van, you get a lot of questions that are thrown at you at these different conferences. What is a typical question that they throw at you out of the blue here? Give me something that they ask about your company, maybe about the cloud.
John, you'd be surprised at how elementary some of the questions are. Is my county large enough to warrant using cloud services? Well, that's just an open-ended invitation to spend 2 or 3 hours talking about the different aspects of the decision-making process. We also get very, very specific technical questions about how. For example, Google is one of our partners, and we sell Google Apps and Google Mail. And certain of our customers want to know exactly how that will interface with their existing systems for e-discovery, for records management, National Archives requirements, and whatnot. And so we're able to drill down into those hard questions, technically sophisticated questions, perhaps, as well as talk intelligently with our customers who see us as a trusted advisor, because I've been customers for many years, yet maybe in a very small agency or in a department and not be connected to the cloud decision process, or one of our county or state customers, which is about 20% of our business, by the way, and answer their questions and hopefully help them along the process.
And if they're sitting in Tempe, Arizona, or Sacramento, California, they can take advantage of one of the DLT seminars. You just had a series in the last month, didn't you, David?
We did. It was 5 episodes, and we kind of took it everywhere from the history of IT and how we got to where we are today, and then we drilled down specifically into the different types of cloud offerings, the platform as a service, software as a service, infrastructure as a service, and we capped it off with our 5th episode around cloud security. And it kind of goes hand in hand with most of the conversation I've been having with folks around cloud. You know, typically starts off with, you know, what is this cloud thing of which you speak, is typically how it starts. Once they get the understanding of what cloud technologies are, and by the way, I think NIST has an exceptional definition of cloud. The next question is, okay, how do I secure this thing? And then we go through that whole conversation. Assuming we get past those hurdles, the last question typically is, okay, I've got this application or this service I'm thinking about, and how do I actually refactor this application to take advantage of cloud technologies? And that's really kind of the life cycle most of the discussions we're having right now.
So if you're listening, you can go to DLT.com and probably see one of those stored on your website. Is that right?
Absolutely. All the webcasts are archived out there right now. They're freely available. So if you have an hour or five to spend, definitely go check them out.
You know, last week I had a woman from Florida call me, and she said, I was listening to your broadcast on IPv6 from last March, and she wanted me to get a speaker for a conference. So people can listen all over the place on these interviews. Kind of fascinating. Let's talk about security. Let's pull that thread out here. Speaking of threads, my wife carries in her purse a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. Got all kinds of things. If we're in a car and there's a thread, she can clip it or all kinds of things with an Army knife. You have integrated platforms that are kind of like Swiss Army knives for security. Well, what do you think of those? Are those worth pursuing? Strange applications, common applications, or where do you put those?
The security right now is there's a lot of pieces of that equation. I mean, most of the technologies that make up a cloud, you know, SOA, virtualization, you know, Web 2.0, those are all basically technical components that make up the cloud today. And as such, we've got a pretty decent understanding of, you know, the security profile of those things. The problem we have with cloud is once you glue those things together to make a cloud, it changes some of the dynamics. So there's some unknown unknowns right now, if you will. But we're seeing a lot of the vendors, you know, stepping up and taking a close look at this. We're starting to see some real innovation, both with existing vendors that have been around for a long time, as well as some relatively new ones.
Because when you talk about virtualization, changes the game completely as far as integrated platform goes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, most of the customers that I've talked to, or a number of them I've talked to, both commercial and federal, you know, they've spent all their effort and time on the virtualization piece, and the security piece they haven't really done a whole lot with yet. So, you know, there is a possibility hypervisors can indeed be cracked. But all the effort right now is in let's virtualize first and figure out the security later. We're starting to see a little more interest, though, in how do we secure these environments? How do we actually move it forward?
Van, I want to talk about this acronym SIEM, Security Information Events Management. This is how security for the cloud is kind of transitioning, isn't it?
Yes, and it moves even beyond that to what the government is calling a continuous monitoring or risk management paradigm, where we're constantly monitoring threats and penetration attempts and classifying them, trying to stop them before they get too far, away from the you know, annual checkup, if you will, and refiling of the paperwork. But a security incident and event management is a piece of that. The SANS organization, which many of our listeners are probably familiar with, has done a great job with both industry and government in coming up with the critical security controls. There are 21 that are most critical, but NIST also has a 700-page document that you can go through, the 800-53, that lays out all the security requirements that you need to think of. There are additional NIST special pubs for mobile device security requirements. It is a very, I don't want to say it's thorny, but it is complicated and requires some serious thought to put together a security framework that will work in your specific mixed cloud, local, internal, hybrid cloud, whatever environment. And to the extent that you have mobile devices in that mix that are being used productively by field personnel or in a telework environment using certain cloud software as a service offerings for collaboration or whatnot, it can get fairly complex. But if you break it down into the smallest pieces, it's a doable thing. The big thing we have in a big question we have in, with our folks is addressing the issues of the major problems that do come up from time to time with Amazon and Google when they go down for a period of a day or so. You know, is that going to happen to me?
Like in April, yeah. Wait, when we come back, we'll talk a little more about the cloud and security and do my world-famous up-close-and-personal questionnaire for these two gentlemen. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Van Ristu, CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, DLT's Chief Cloud Technologist.
Profile America, Tuesday, July 5th. Most movie buffs know that the first film with a partial soundtrack was The Jazz Singer with superstar Al Jolson. But not too many can name the first movie with a full-length soundtrack, which opened on this date in New York in 1928.
It was The Lights of New York, about the murder of a crime boss, a film which has faded into obscurity. After the jazz singer stunned the country, movie studios scrambled to change over from silent films to what were then called the talkies. It was a technical revolution that completely changed the making and viewing of movies. In 1928, Americans went to the movies an average of about twice a week. Now we each take in about five films a year in a theater. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Van Ristu, CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, DLT's chief cloud technologist. We've been talking about clouds and toolboxes and all kinds of things. Thought we'd get up close and personal, do some personal questions. My listeners are going now, who is the bigger nerd in the room? Is it David or is it Van?
I'm betting on Van.
It's a mighty close test here. And so I'm going to ask you guys this question. It's 10 questions, and it's these are official questions, by the way. You're your first computer, David.
Timex Sinclair ZX81.
Whoa, late 70s. Mm-hmm. Oh, great, great. Hey, Van.
Well, the first computer that I owned was one I bought in the mid-'80s, a Data General Personal 1 running Tate's framework.
David got you on that first question. your first cell phone?
First cell phone. It was a Motorola Razr.
So what year is that? That was late 90s?
Oh, that was, early 90s.
Early 90s.
It was like pre-Razr then, I guess. It was one of the old Motorolas.
Were you shaving, or tell us about your Razr experience?
Mine must have been generic, because I got no idea what I had.
Well, he's got a leg up on you, I'm telling you here. Operating system at home, Mac, Unix, what you got at home?
Yes.
Oh, you have all three.
I have Solaris. Oh, I have Unix. I have Windows.
He's got
Macs.
The old David operating system too. Van, what do you got at home?
Windows and Mac.
Windows and Mac. Well, that's still good. A speedier connection. Do you have an old T1 going in your house, or what do you got at home?
No. I finally upgraded to fiber optic to the curb. Okay. Fios. Yeah.
Okay. Van.
I don't know what I've got, but it's
not dial-up, huh?
No. I gave up my DSL for a Cox a Pro connection, and cable, it gets me there.
Good. David, type of mobile phone you have carry with you today?
iPhone.
Okay. And Van?
BlackBerry.
BlackBerry. Interesting. Number of apps on your phone, David?
27.
20, no, it's the number. Wow, not two screens, three screens. Van, how many apps do you have on your phone?
He made that up. You know that.
I did.
Of course.
Exactly.
You better say 28 then.
Of course.
How many apps are your computer? 28? Oh, Van, beat you on that
there
one.
We go.
Okay.
Right.
Here's a nerd question. Do you have a tablet device?
No.
Oh, it's your chance to win, Van.
No, I don't, but I'm going to buy one.
Negative one for both of you guys. Social networking sites, David, which ones do you participate in?
I'm the master of antisocial networking, so I have like accounts on LinkedIn,
disorder.
And Facebook, and Twitter, and I log in every 3 months whether I need to or not.
Yeah. Van?
I do LinkedIn. I've been in LinkedIn for about 5 years ago.
Not many nerd points, but good social. And here's the big question, David. The last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Paper.
Paper, Van?
Paper, absolutely.
Well, just in the middle of scales. I don't think you're either nerds, but you know, you're right in the middle of scales.
We've got to work on that.
My listeners have surprised a couple of those answers, though, you know. Let's jump from up close and personal to mobile madness. I love talking about mobile. It's having a big impact on my listeners. Van, from your perspective, what's the best two or three things that one of my listeners can do, whether cloud-related or not cloud-related, to deal with this influx of mobile devices?
As a government agency customer?
Yeah, from one of my listeners' perspective, you know, you're a program manager and an agency or you're different level up.
The thing that you really need to do first is to socialize internally and understand what your people are using these things for right now. If they've already got them in the mix, what are they using them for? Just personal stuff? Are there some legitimate business objectives that they want to achieve with these devices? And then you can plan ahead. There's no point in deciding what applications you're going to promote without understanding how they're using them now, which devices. Ultimately, you're going to have to restrict the types of devices that you allow in your network because it's just impossible to handle all the operating systems.
David, what about security and mobile devices?
Oh, yes. Again, this is an area where we're starting to see some innovation in the marketplace around how do we actually provide more secure access control? How do we make sure that data doesn't stay resident on the phone after you leave a premise? This is a very much an evolving marketplace right now. I think that as Van mentioned earlier, you know, with the rapid proliferation of phone technologies and OSs and different flavors of it, it makes it very difficult for CSOs to actually get their arms around this. I think this is a problem that's going to be solved twofold. One is via technology, and we're starting to see innovation there. But the other is also going to be around policy in terms of, you know, how do we actually define when users can use certain devices, how and why. But it's definitely a thorny, complex issue.
David, there are 150 million blogs out there, according to Technorati, all kinds of different ones. DLT has a blog. I guess you write the blog. Is that right?
Actually, there is a DLT blog, and it actually pretty much most engineering staff and actually have articles on there. I do indeed blog on there. I know Van actually, I think, has more hits than I do at this point in time. So I'm
more competition, huh?
Yeah, no pressure there, no pressure. I think he's got the DLT Solutions Rockstar Blogger Award or something. I keep trying to figure out how to get my hands on
Very
that.
Very opinionated, by the way.
Well, it's not bad in this world. Van, you've seen everything from paper tape to floppy disk drives to thumb drives in the cloud. Where do you think this whole technology is headed in the next 4 or 5 years? Get out the crystal ball and tell me the future and stock tips as well.
Well, I'm afraid we're heading to a very, very diverse environment of devices, both PCs, workstations, mainframes. We've got different operating systems for mobile devices. We've got netbooks with Chrome OS running on them in another few months. And people will have a lot of choice to use what is best for them. And the real challenge for agencies and in throughout government is going to be to lay out a roadmap for what they need to do to get their job done and make sure that their IT environment supports that from an O&M standpoint, security.
As well as standards, right, David? Standards.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of different standards. I mean, Van talked about SANS just up the street, talked about NIST. Do you think the government is going to be the leader for the commercial world in the area of standards for the cloud? I mean, their definition for the cloud is pretty good. I mean, do you think those folks are going to be the industry leaders?
Honestly, I think the government's going to be a very heavy influencer. They may not be the leader. There are a number of groups out there. Another one is the Cloud Security Alliance, who's done a phenomenal job of putting together a controls matrix around cloud. I think at the end of the day, most users will benefit from a synthesis of take what the government's doing, what NIST is doing, pick some of the things that SANS is doing, look at what Cloud Security Alliance is doing, and really synthesize those things into the right fit for your organization. At the end of the day, it's going to be they're all doing good stuff. It's just a matter of picking what good stuff is most appropriate for your mission.
Van, in April, Information Week did a survey of federal IT users, and they said that 58% of feds are using the cloud or planning to use the cloud. Think that's too high?
Officially using or testing. There's a lot of testing going on, a lot of pilots, a lot of personal use to see what works. But I would think that 50% of adoption is a bit high. Based on people I've talked to, and I know some major agencies that are saying, "Hey, we're not going there just yet."
David, what do you think?
I think it's a numbers game right now. As 50% are using cloud, well, they might be using it, but is it widely? Again, as Van said, is it really widely deployed? Do they have a real cloud infrastructure put in place, or are people basically using Google Mail, or are they planning on using the Apple iCloud as it comes out?
I'm sure there's some software developers that I work with that'll argue that Google Mail really isn't a cloud application, is it?
Yeah, it's a web app. It's a cloud app. Yeah, exactly. And this is, I try not to really get into the religious wars around, is it cloud? Is it not? At the end of the day, there are cloud-like technologies that drive the mission, that make IT more efficient. And that's really what I focus on. It's less about the semantics of cloud, not cloud. More around how do we make IT more efficient? How do we actually be more agile to the mission, to the business? Those are the key drivers for me.
Van, we just got about 40 seconds left here. From the perspective of DLT solutions, I guess that you're not interested if it's a four-cylinder or six-cylinder car. You're interested in where they're going to wind up, huh? I mean, that seems to be what your focus is on, not worrying about cloud definitions, worrying about applications and end-user success.
Absolutely. The worst thing for us would be for us to advise a customer and sell him the wrong size suit. He needs a sports car. He needs a white suit. He needs a nice hat. And that's where we're at.
I'm going to go home and put on my white suit and go to a disco tonight. That's what I'm going to do. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, two folks, Van Ristu, CTO at DLT Solutions, and his colleague, David Blankenhorn, DLT's Chief Cloud Technologist. Thanks, gentlemen.
Been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.